Using that music, Pete, it makes this segment way sexier than it should be. But I guess it's still a sexy segment, right? Tonight, we continue our brand new Thursday night segment in honor of one of the best pastimes in film, identifying the bad ones. That's right. We all love the bad movies, not the ones that set out to be bad, like parody movies or camp. No, we love the ones that are made in earnest, you know, setting out to be the best film in the history of cinema. But what you get? Bad Ronald, right? This segment is in conjunction with the series that came from the Neo Futurarium, the long-running summer series that presents stage readings of the best worst movies of all time. The series, the 12th anniversary of the series, and it came from the Neo Futurarium, Dawn of the Neo Futurarium. It starts Saturday night, the 24th. It runs through July 15th, 7:30. We call this segment Justify Your Love. Bad movies. You call up or text your favorite bad movie, justify why it's so bad. And the best bad movie choice will get you a prize, in this case, a pizza. Like, how great is that? It's like a perfect.
Perfect.
It's really perfect. Is perfect.
Let's have some fun. In studio with me tonight, two of the curators, creator Rachel Clav, and the first director, David Kadesky. David, good to see you.
Good to see you.
Been a while, buddy. Good
to
see you.
Oh, yeah, it has been a while.
All right, so you're up first. So before we get to the rules of this thing, the first one that's up on deck Saturday night, you're directing. What is it?
It's a 1950 women's prison movie. Probably a great one called Caged. Top-notch cast. Great script. Really great script. Bad
yep.
movie.
Bad movie.
Caged! Exclamation point.
Yeah.
Can you differentiate at this point as professionals that you are, both for stage and screen, but do you recognize that the script is good and the actual production is bad?
Yeah, this one's an
outlier.
Yeah, it is a bit of an outlier.
I have to say, the more I watch it, the more fond of it I
am. Totally. It's got some great performances in it.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's very earnest and it's, it was a serious social problem 1950s movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there, you know, it's got like this seriousness about it, but then below that is like this salaciousness that is very much a part of women
right.
in prison.
Women
movies.
In prison, right.
Yeah, and spawned a lot of even more overtly salacious.
Really?
Oh, like
this is a
this
winner.
Is an early one, yeah. So there's, you know, it's a little more veiled, but it's there.
But it gets more overt.
There's a little bit of, you know, hidden lady love.
Yeah.
There's a very short shower sequence.
Scene, yeah.
There's, you know, some...
I can't wait to see how you stage that. That's the beauty of the series.
Ankles.
Rachel, ankles.
Right. Rachel, soapy ankles.
Let's go back through the rules as we get people lined up here. 312-981-7200. The rules, because I kind of mentioned it's not really about parodies or camp. I mean, the idea here is to really find the earnest.
Yeah, and you touched on one of the things that we look for when we're choosing movies, which is that it took itself very seriously at the time for whatever reason. Somebody thought it was a great idea. That's a key. Can't be self-consciously terrible.
Right.
One thing, it needs to be rewatchable. It can't be so bad that you never want to see it again.
Right.
It's got that indefinable something that keeps you coming back. And you sit down, in my case, something like, you know, Face Off, where I'll sit down and go, well, I'm going to watch 10 minutes and I will watch the whole thing all the way through.
I love that you guys are doing that one,
oh,
Face Off.
I'm so excited. And another, let's see, what else do we use as rules? It needs to, what?
It has to be somewhat available to be put on a stage. I mean, right?
Oh,
I mean,
that's thank you. Yes. The script needs to be the standout because we ask people to stage things on a shoestring budget. So,
right. Which is part of the fun.
Yep. And I think, that's to me the best part is when you give somebody a really tiny handful of money and say, how are you going to do this? So,
right.
You know, big action sequences and things like that don't quite work. Or rather, when you strip all that down, do you have a script that's
right.
going to stand on its own and make people go, really? Wow.
Right. And I always ask whenever I'm directing one of these things is, you know, to look at the script as though it was written by Chekhov.
Yeah, be uber serious.
Because they were produced with such, they're in earnest, you know, they were not joking around when they were right, making right, the movie. Right.
No.
So, and that's what really elevates it into like this, yeah, problem.
Well, there are a lot of texts coming through the phones as well. Let's get the lines so lit up excited. Here. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you want to call in and explain, justify your love for the worst movies that are out there. David Kadesky, Rachel Claff in studio. We'll take a break. We'll get everybody lined up. We'll come back and we'll start it up. Stay with us. 312-981-7200. We're justifying our love for the worst movies of all time. Rachel Claff, David Kadesky in studio tonight. They, of course, both longtime Neo-Futurists, and Rachel, this is her series. It came from the Neo-Futurarium.
That's right.
Which is stage readings of the best, worst movies of all time. Starts on Saturday with Caged.
That's
David
right.
David is directing. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to Matt. Matt, why don't you kick us off tonight, Matt? What's your selection for the best, worst movie of all time?
Hello, folks, and I'm an Uber driver with passengers, but they're letting me call you.
good.
Yeah, but The Art of War, featuring Wesley Snipes taking on the Yakuza. And, wait, are you ready for this?
Yeah.
The Yakuza are led by none other than Annette Bening.
What?
Wow.
Yes.
What year is this movie?
I'm going to say 90-something.
Like, I want to say, like, 2000 off the top of my head. There's two sequels, too, but he's only in one of the sequels.
I bet the sequels are probably even worse and therefore better.
Yeah, no, he's a spy who works for the UN, which is weird because I don't think the UN contracts spies out. Annette Bening, like, he discovered, like, he has to guard this girl who knows something about some secret UN thing, and Annette Bening tries to kill him, and then at the end, spoiler alert, she gets killed by somebody who I think was supposed to be Patrick Stewart, but they couldn't get him, so it's horrible knockoff of Patrick Stewart.
Awesome. Awesome, no. Matt. Well, do your passengers believe that The Art of War is the best, worst movie of all time?
They've never seen it. They think
we're Googling
it. Jawbreaker.
Sounds terrible.
We're Googling it right now. It looks awful.
Great, good. Well, thanks everyone in the Uber that Matt's driving for the call tonight. I appreciate it.
That he brings up
you're
a good
welcome,
point.
Guys. Have a good night.
Good night.
Matt brings up a good point of what may also makes a good movie is a good bad movie is when someone describes it to you, you immediately go, I gotta look that up.
Yeah,
I gotta
look
see
it up, right?
Yeah.
The Art of War, and you're right. And where do sequels play in? Because you're right, if they're gonna be sequels to a bad movie, they're probably gonna be worse, and that may fit into the category.
Especially when they get to like three is almost always as bad as two, and then four gets a little bit better, and then by the time they're like to seven,
then you're
done.
Just to the street fighting part of the sequels, that's you don't want to be.
Or
there.
They're in space,
right?
Anything in space, really.
All right, let's go to Steve. Steve, what's your selection for the best worst movies of all time?
I think it was 79 or 80, Flash Gordon. I can't remember the leading man, but it was a terrible soundtrack.
No, you got
David,
staunch
David
competition.
Disagrees.
David does not agree.
Flash.
I got a hearty going by the house right now.
That's also my problem.
But I still watch it every time I flip by it, and I've still got a copy on VHS.
See, that's how good it is.
So describe the plot of this movie,
yeah,
if there is one.
Steve, what's the plot of the movie?
Oh, yeah, there is, and they just patched together the old TV show and radio show and
made it a movie. What, David, why do you not put it in the category
of
the worst?
Why do you
For one thing, awesome Queen score.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Enough said. You've got, what's his name, Sam... Oh, he was like a football player. He's like sort of a dumb blonde.
Yeah.
He was so perf. You got Max von Sydow as the bad guy. It's so good, and it's like watching candy. It's like watching candy. It's really awesome.
What do you think, Steve?
I don't even like sci-fi,
candy?
But I love that movie.
Well, to each their own, and also you can toss in I Spit on Your Grave.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yep. Well, that one.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
thanks,
that's got to be in there.
That's got to be in there. Thanks, buddy.
All right,
there we go. So we get some good stuff coming in
Flash
already.
Flash Gordon is on a lot of, you know, best bad of all time movies, so I
and
would argue.
Best of all time.
So there's clearly something about it.
Well, I mean, I guess it fits under the superhero kind of movie.
Puts his hand in, like, the tree of truth or something. I haven't seen it in a long time, but I
loved it. Yeah. That's another guideline, is if you liked it at one point and you go back and revisit it and go,
there it is.
What?
You're right. It's Queen, yeah.
Yeah.
That's
best
stuff, yeah. They did a whole thing about it in Ted, the Seth MacFarlane teddy
did
bear
really?
Movie. Where there's a moment where Mark Wahlberg and the teddy bear are like, you're not going to believe it's a great concept, and that's a campy movie, but where Mark Wahlberg is trying to go straight, like he's trying to clean up, you know, and the bear is his sort of friend who won't let him.
Right.
And the bear's like, you're not going to believe you showed up at this party, Sam from Flash Gordon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's like, and they go on.
I can't remember his last
name. It brings him back. Yeah, I can't, they say it in
that
the
one's
movie.
Got a sequel, too. I wonder if, is that one terrible?
Yeah, I don't know.
I have no idea.
Yes, it is. It's absolutely terrible. Yeah.
It's Ming the Merciless. That's your.
Ming the Merciless.
Yeah. Yeah.
Next bad guy. Right? Of course, I'm being texted by my husband.
he's got the info. That's good. He'd be good for like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire or whatever, right? That's your lifeline.
He's your lifeline.
Yeah, there it is.
Right.
All right. 630 says The Screaming Woman. It was an ABC movie of the week where a woman was buried alive. Pure classic.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to remember who was in. Is that?
It's
is
a
that,
TV movie of the week.
It might be Olivia de Havilland.
Really?
Somebody like that.
Is it just
that?
The idea that she's buried alive and the whole movie's just there?
If she's buried alive for the whole thing, that sounds excruciating. Yeah. Because where are you going to. Yeah. What are you going to do with that?
Put her under a blanket or
very
a mattress.
Tight, just a tight
put her under
shot.
Like a little like crib mattress.
I don't think she's like, yeah, I guess that's what
you
would
know
do.
I'm saying?
But yeah, it's very stationary.
I'd be interested to see what they do with that.
What they do with that.
Yeah,
because
at some point she's got to get out or else most boring movie ever made.
Yeah, I think it's you know, a lot of those like 70s TV movies always had like some older
aging
former
movie
film star. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And they were usually like terrorized brilliantly.
That's amazing.
That was the genre, terrorizing old film stars.
Yeah.
That's great.
They still kind of do it.
They still do it. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We're justify your love for bad movies. That's the name of this segment. 312-981-7200. The best one tonight gets a pizza. 708 says The People Under the Stairs.
All right. So David says this might be a sort of self-consciously bad movie.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Yeah,
you think it had camp or they knew it was bad.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember seeing this. I think it came out in like the probably early 80s.
Yeah. It says not one of Ving Rhames' best.
Oh, boy.
Oh, Ving Rhames.
That's what it says. It says bad Ronald times two. And they have the synopsis, which says when young fool Brandon Adams breaks into the home of his family's greedy and uncaring landlords, he discovers a disturbing scenario when incestuous adult siblings have mutilated a number of boys and kept them imprisoned under the stairs in their large, creepy house.
If Ving Rhames is in it, that's going to be older than the 70s, is it not? Or else
he's been around for a while, but maybe it's just not, you know, like one of the, I mean, because he kind of had that breakthrough with Pulp Fiction, right? Wasn't he in Pulp Fiction?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was kind of like, but maybe that was a comeback kind of thing.
I do not know.
I know.
Oh, 630 might have the winner tonight.
Okay.
You guys have had to have done this one, right?
Hit me.
Boy in the Bubble, John Travolta.
We have threatened to do it many, many times, and it has not yet been done.
Oh, come
but
on.
That is a that one gets my vote. Yeah.
Right?
It's got to be.
That's so good.
Day. It's
there's a piece of dialogue in there.
Oh,
and where John Travolta's in a bubble, and he's on the beach. His mom takes him to the beach so he can be normal.
Yep.
And he's like, Gloria, come back and talk to me. Where are you going? And she comes in and goes, Janet, you're in a bubble. You know, like, why would I want to talk to you? Like, we're kind of making fun of you. And she's like, he flicks out in the bubble. And he, like, because he's freaking out, he almost breaks his mouth. Like, you gotta break the bubble! It's so good.
It
yes,
really
I don't know why I didn't think about that.
Yeah, no.
John Travolta in a bubble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've batted around doing sort of a whole series I wanted to call it Panic at the Neo-Futurarium and just do all sort of, you know, medical slash, you know, hermetically sealed, all of those. I wanted to do Outbreak from the 90s.
Have to do, you get like a little, like, I don't know, you probably go to a party store and you get the bubble, right?
Well,
bubble up like that, like you're in a Flaming Lips video or something.
Right,
and then
And then you just, that's the actor's in that bubble the entire
time. Either that or he just holds up some saran wrap over his face the whole time.
There's so much you could do there.
Yeah.
Party City even is probably too expensive
yeah,
for our
for this. Yeah, for this. Yeah.
I'm going into Party City you gotta on find your out behalf on Friday.
Go digging through the kitchen and you know see what you got.
I'm looking, I'm doing a stage adaptation of Boy in the Bubble. Do you have a bubble that an actor could get into?
How about some bubble
when
wrap?
When we did...
We can give you some bubble wrap.
Right, that'll work.
When was this? 2010, we did My Little Pony, the movie. And I remember buying all the costumes for that, which were just essentially Technicolor tracksuit, you know, as many as I could find. And I remember the look on the woman's face when I brought them all up to the thrift store counter. She was like, what is happening?
I would assume... I would assume at any thrift store they're like, "This is not the weirdest thing that was bought."
Probably right. not. She was suspicious.
She was. All right, 312-981-7200. We are evaluating the best worst movies of all time. Justify Your Love is the name of the segment. And David Kadesky, Rachel Claff in studio this week. It came from the Neo Futurarium. The best stage and the stage readings of the best worst movies of all time starts Saturday night. Caged.
Yep.
David is directing Caged.
Ladies in prison.
Ladies in prison.
What else do you need?
Go wrong.
I don't know.
Cannot
what,
go wrong.
You know, mean matron.
Best Pride
mean
weekend
matron.
Ever.
You've got soapy ankles.
All right, 312-981-7200. If you want to get in, we'll play the second half. Of Justify Your Love coming up after the news. Stay with us. For you to justify my love. My love. My love. So funny. I love it. When I hear this song, I'm like, oh.
Yeah, it really does make you want to ask the callers what they're wearing.
Yeah, right? It does. 312-981-7200. Justify Your Love for the worst movies of all time and why they're the best. In studio tonight, Rachel Claff, David Kadesky. The series, it came from the Neo Futurarium. Great stage readings of the best, worst movies of all time. It starts on the 24th with David Kadesky's Caged. Ladies in prison. And it ends on July 15th. You can see it up at the Neo Futurarium up in Andersonville at Foster and Ashland. We're continuing tonight, right now, as we did last week. We'll do it again. The winner gets a pizza. You know, you get a prize if you can justify the best worst. And right now, Boy in a Plastic Bubble is winning. Surprisingly, Pete, from the same person who gave us Bad Ronald. Right.
She knows what she's doing.
Right.
She really knows what she's doing.
These are the pros in studio. They're giving you high props.
She's going through her old stack of DVDs that she VHSs that she recorded.
That's good stuff. All right, let's go to Mark. Mark, start us off in the second half here. Justify your love for what?
The worst movie ever made. Compared to this movie, The Boy in the Plastic Bubble is Casablanca. It's called Rabbit Test.
What is that?
Yeah, what is this?
It was written by Joan Rivers.
Oh,
and
my
it's starring
gosh.
Billy Crystal. And
pregnant.
It's got Paul Lynde, George Goble, Doris Roberts, Fanny Flagg, Norman Fell, Alice Ghostly.
What's the plot?
Roddy McDowell. It's an engaged man who finds out that he's expecting.
Yep.
Oh, yes.
Is Billy Crystal the engaged man?
I remember seeing it at the Jerry Lewis Cinema in Niagara Falls, New York.
Oh, my gosh.
What?
There is nothing funny about this movie.
No, but it's supposed to be a comedy?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Pretty flat.
Really?
Except for Billy Crystal's belly. But
it's so bad, it doesn't even have a Rotten Tomatoes ranking. And the people who saw it, and the people who did see it, had to come out of comas to give their review
of it.
Yeah,
it's not funny.
Wow.
Like, it's really
not funny.
It is.
If any of you ever notice it on cable, don't watch it.
Yeah. Avoid it like the plague.
Your intelligence will drop at least 5 points.
All right. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
That's a good one, man. Mark, that's a good one.
This reminds me of last week we were talking about a movie having a central flaw.
Yeah.
That's got one.
It. Yep.
That is the central flaw.
Yeah,
What's the one where Schwarzenegger is pregnant?
Yeah.
That's another one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. We do a double feature.
Yeah.
I forget what it's called.
I can't remember what that's called. Who
I mean,
knows?
I keep thinking
Junior?
Twins, but it's, yeah.
No,
something
is
like,
that it?
Is it called Junior?
It's Kindergarten Cop. I don't know. Terminator. It could be Terminator.
Terminated.
All right, let's do Jody. Jody, what do you got, Jody?
Hey, guys. How are you tonight?
Good. How about you?
Good.
Good. I think I got a good one. I want to say it's from the 70s, and I believe it was starring Cliff Robertson. You remember him from the movie Charlie?
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, yes. That also a
won an Academy
movie.
Award for that. That was a good one. But this one was kind of a stinker. It was called Robinson Crusoe on Mars.
Wow. Sure.
Do you remember that one?
I don't, but right off the bat, I'm like, it feels like it fits the category.
It does.
You put it
in space.
I think it's perfect. Right? The premise, it's kind of like a Gilligan's Island where all of a sudden they do these incredible things that how can they build huts and how can they have food and change of clothes and all this. But the premise is an astronaut and a chimpanzee are going to Mars.
Say no more.
And they make it to Mars, but when it's time to go home, they can't restart their spaceship. So he calls for a tow. And of course it's 8 months to go to Mars.
Right.
And by the time, so long story short, they say it's going to be about 2 years before we get to you. Hang in there. And so the whole movie is how he finds. He finds a cave with water and oxygen.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
And
it's the Martian in the chimp- 70s, right?
Just about to say.
Didn't they just remake
he finds
this?
He finds a
Matt
plant
Damon?
Matt Damon.
Yeah.
He finds a plant that grows these little sausages, so he's got food.
It's Mars. Anything can happen.
Crazier and crazier.
All right.
But the ending is they finally get there, almost 2 years, and he's got to make communications, and they don't know if he's alive or not. So the whole, deal is, does he make communications? Does he leave or what? And sure enough, at the end, he looks around and decides that he likes where he lives with
stay.
His chimpanzee.
With his chimp.
He doesn't make communications.
That's
and,
a special kind of love.
And it was just, it was a tearjerker.
That's great.
I really like this.
That's a great explanation, Jody. Thank you for that.
Oh, thanks.
All right. That was good.
I'm
going to
look
good.
That one up.
All right. I like that. Judy, what do you got? What do you like for a best worst movie?
Well, I would say Close Encounters of whatever kind.
Judy, I'm with you on this.
This is not considered a bad movie, right? This is isn't this sort of considered like a good movie?
Well, this is, I guess it depends on the mind frame you go into movie, which is probably pretty serious. It's a groundbreaking thing that will be happening.
Okay.
Towards the end of the script.
The idea of space and aliens and all that kind of stuff.
Making contact.
Right? Making contact. But the movie is no good.
But here I am. I am watching this back in my younger days. And this guy, Richard Dreyfuss, he has this vault of energy and thought process, and he has to build.
Oh, yeah.
So through his wife's kitchen, he's hauling in dirt and sand and stuff, and she's just sitting there letting him do it. Tell me how many women would just love to go on and not really, like, say something?
Yeah, right.
Judy, you're no nonsense. That's what I love about you.
You are. You nailed it. My dad's the same way. I remember when we were watching the movie Red Dawn.
Yep.
And I'll never forget this, being a 10-year-old kid or watching it and just kind of stuck. The moment that the kids recognize that, they're going to have to go into the hills mm-hmm. to get away from the rush, they go into like a True Value or a store
yes.
and they
mm-hmm.
get a bunch of stuff and there's like soup cans
yep.
and whatever. And my dad just starts laughing. He's like, yeah, no, that's going to save you. Like whatever it was, he like pointed out that this was implausible, this storyline. So Judy, thank you for that. A lot of good stuff here. This is really good. 312-981-7200 is the number. We've got some good stuff. We've got 331 say, Who's Harry Crumb? I don't know that movie.
I don't know that either.
Out for that. 630 says, Weekend at Bernie's.
I mean, sure. Yeah. It's,
I mean, that would be a good one for the stage reading.
It
you know,
might
the idea
be.
That someone would have
it
to.
It might be better than the movie.
It might be.
Yeah.
They might actually succeed.
It's sort of your classic unfunny '80s,
yeah,
you know, shticky movie.
Yeah. Yeah. It's on the tail end of the shticky movies,
yeah.
And it doesn't really. Yeah, you're right. It's probably better. It's just in lore of people making reference to it,
yeah.
Than the actual right. Sitting down and watching an hour and a half.
You know what might be fun to do with Weekend at Bernie's is to take it uber seriously, because when you think about it, they're dragging around this poor dead guy. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty awful.
Yeah. There's so much about it that's just,
like I said,
not
you
always
treat the script.
You could
like
play it like a drama. Yeah.
Play it like a drama.
Yeah.
I love it. 84262 says the worst movie I ever saw was The Last American Virgin.
Okay.
It was the worst hack job of Fast Times at Ridgemont High and Porky's. It was brutal.
There are so many spinoffs of those awful we were just talking about. Mm-hmm. All those spinoffs of those, you know,
Jiggly.
Raunchy 80s comedies. Oh, yeah.
They mass produced those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just movie after movie after movie.
What was the original? Would it be Porky's that kind of led those off, or Revenge of the Nerds? What was the one that like kind of like started?
Probably.
I would say either or. Yeah.
Porky's probably.
Yeah.
Like started the idea of, teenagers that are sex crazed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. 312-981-7200. We'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll read some more. Right now, I mean, I have to give... The Robinson Crusoe on Mars.
I was going to say, giving
that's
Boy
really
in the
good.
Plastic Bubble a run for
a
its money.
A real run for
and
its money.
And I do like Rabbit Test as well. Like,
oh, yeah.
I do
Crystal
too.
Pregnant in 1978.
Yeah.
It's really, really good. All right.
Yep.
So if you could beat those, send them in now. 312-981-7200. Stay with us. We are justifying our love for the best, worst movies of all time. A new segment we're doing this summer with Rachel Claff from the it came from the Neo Futurarium summer reading series at the Neo Futurarium, putting stage readings of the best bad movies on stage at the Neo Futurarium.
Foster and Ashland.
Foster and Ashland. The first one is Saturday, Caged. The director David Kadesky is here.
Yep. Soapy ankles.
Soapy ankles. Check it out. 7:30 start. All right, so let's keep going on these movies, because I think it's pretty tight this week. And
it is.
I think Boy in the Plastic Bubble probably still has my vote, although because it's from the same person who did Bad Ronald, I would entertain a different
choice. I'm torn between Robinson Crusoe on Mars and Rabbit Test.
Rabbit Test.
Yeah.
A pregnant Billy
the
Crystal.
The more I think about Rabbit Test, the more I remember how silent it was in the movie theater.
Yeah.
630 says Scarface.
People don't like it.
They don't like that movie,
they
huh?
Do not
I,
like
I don't
it.
Feel like I feel like I've seen it because I think everybody has seen
yeah.
it. But I would not cast judgment. I don't know enough about it.
Well, you know, it was there were a lot of homages to it. Like, you know,
yeah.
It's like one of those things where it's become
something
bigger than
yeah,
what it
right,
was.
Right.
Although it was kind of a big
It's Al Pacino, thing. Right?
Yeah.
I've never been able to wave to people from the studio.
Yeah, really.
Here's the thing. Al Pacino
has
so many. I mean, he really...
He's a favorite.
He's got to be reined in, because the stuff he's been in, I mean, Devil's Advocate.
Oh, that's yeah. terrible.
88 Minutes.
That's one of the worst movies I've ever seen. With Keanu Reeves in that one?
Devil's Advocate, yeah. And Charlize Theron.
Oh, man, that's awful.
With Al Pacino as the devil.
Ham.
He makes some terrible, terrible choices.
630.
Yeah, it is. Chewing the scenery.
630 says, second vote for Rabbit Test.
Great.
No other movie was able to round up the entire cast of Match Game. When the gentleman read the cast, the first thing I thought was how many of them appeared in the original show.
I bet.
Yep.
630 says, Dream a Little Dream. I don't know which one, the song?
Yeah. It's a romantic comedy.
Is Corey Feldman in that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is that,
it's
no good.
One of those just, right. you know, lousy. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's keep going here. The best worst movie of all time, 708 says, is Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving horror movie.
A Thanksgiving horror movie. A horror movie in which the turkey enacts revenge on the white man. Stealing the land from the Indians. Each murder culminates with a fantastically bad Thanksgiving pun.
What's the turkey got to be upset?
Not your fight.
Yeah.
630 says Meatballs 2. Meatballs 1 is Bill Murray, but Bill Murray doesn't come back for Meatballs 2.
No, really? He wouldn't.
Yeah, no, thank you. I'm out. One was
sorry, enough. I'm full.
I'm full. 414. Meatballs 2 is a bad one. I think you 630, I'm with you. You got to explain it, though, because I believe in a future episode of Justify Your Love, I think Meatballs 2 would be a contender. But with just saying Meatballs 2 in the text, you got to move on. It's like it's almost like the Hall of Fame balloting. You're like, it's the first round. But I feel like Meatballs 2 was terrible because there was so much anticipation. Because you saw Meatballs 1 with Bill Murray, and you're like, this is going to be a camp movie. And they just took every joke, did it poorly.
Yeah.
With bad actors.
Yeah. But usually, two. You know, it's not going to be.
There's never going to be a.
Never going
to
be.
Rare.
Let's go to Bill. Bill's on the line. Bill, what do you got for the worst movie? Best worst movie?
Starship Troopers.
Oh, that movie's terrible. I love that movie.
That movie. See, Rachel, you like that Close Encounters thing.
No, Starship Troopers is.
If they weren't challenging bugs for control of the galaxy, maybe it would be better.
But Starship Troopers is intentionally terrible.
Yeah, is it though? I wonder.
Bugs fire nuclear explosions out of their rear ends that go through atmosphere.
Well, maybe that's Rachel's point, that it is on purpose being a little bit campy.
It's pretty.
I agree, but I do also think that Starship, when you watch it, I don't always catch the camp. I catch. Not that great of a production.
Well,
you're probably right, Bill. I'll give you this. I think it over time it has developed a cult following, which has made it associated with good bad.
Right.
And then it's so bad that they made Starship Troopers 2 and
of course they did.
Of course. See, now I bet
they couldn't kill all the bugs in the first movie.
That's great, Bill. Thank you, Bill. All right, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. I would put Starship Troopers on a short list as well. All right, let's keep going. I want to get through these because everyone. 414 says Watermelon Man.
Blaxploitation film.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like more like a social message. I think that's,
I don't know.
There's another, I'll get to these. 224 says Harry and the Hendersons.
Really sappy, yeah. John Lithgow.
Yeah, right, but it's like Bigfoot comes to live with them, right?
Yeah.
That was a movie?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah. It became a sitcom, too, but after the movie.
Oh, after.
Yeah.
Well, then.
It was like the movie was hot, and then they're like, we got to make an ABC sitcom out of this, right?
Also ill-advised. Just generally ill-advised whenever they try to do that stuff.
773 says, Red Heat. Jim Belushi and Arnold Schwarzenegger. Soviet cop meets American cop. Hilarity ensues. There's some really great stuff because Schwarzenegger will talk in Russian. He's like, hey! I can't understand you. I agree with Red Heat because that's that 48 hours knockoff. You know, 48 hours is Eddie Murphy and who else? Nick Nolte. Mm-hmm. And there's that rough edges 80s cop movie.
Yep.
Red Heat tries to do the same thing. So it's funny, but at the same time, it's just rough. It's got a grit to it, but it's not. It doesn't get that 48 hours thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it's a KGB guy, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Who is chasing.
It's not funny either.
It's not, but the jokes they mine are for, our cultures are different. You're a crazy New York cop, and I'm a Russian KGB. Like, that's where they get the comedy. They make jokes there going.
No, you keep saying that's where they get the comedy.
Right. That is the
we need some scare quotes around that. Yeah.
That's right. All right. There's more here. Hold on. Okay. Plastic Boy in the Bubble. Everyone loves that. I wanted to get to some of the first ones we had come in. I didn't get to them. Here we go. That 72 film, The Thing with Two Heads, starring Ray Milland and Rosie Grier. Doctors are forced to transplant the head of a dying racist onto the body of a black escaped convict. When the MD wakes up, he finds his head parked alongside Rosie Grier's left ear. It's a really freaky film.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I mean, if you had to, you could do Watermelon Man and The Thing. With
there you go. There you go. Let's go to Mac. Let's go to Mac on the line. Mac, what's the best worst movie?
Okay, for me, like I said, I'm back from the 70s. I really enjoyed this one called The Towering Inferno.
Oh, yes.
That would be a good one to do.
Really?
And one of the worst. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, it's really actually a very boring disaster movie. with like a cast of thousands.
With me becoming, at the time, I was an apprentice electrician, and the fire started because of electricians, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, oh, my God.
Took it personally, right?
Somebody's place, that doesn't happen, you know?
I love it. All right. Thanks, Mac. Thanks for Towering Inferno.
Okay, guys. All right. And then the next one was called, just to leave you with, it was, I saw it at a drive-in movie. It was called The Attack of the Hassenpfeffer Rabbits.
Oh, the rabbits one. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Night of the Lepus we did. We talked about last week.
We did, yeah.
Yep.
All right, thanks, Mac.
I wasn't a care. Okay, guys. Thanks,
Mac. All right. So we're done for the night. We got to shut it off. There's a really good, the last text I'll read is 414 saying, you guys missed the entire point of Starship Troopers. It's made to resemble those propaganda films, which with a surprising ending, it's a great metaphor about war and the hatred of the other. Please rethink your analysis.
I'm going to.
Yep. I'll go home and think
847 also says, Justin, if a person won last week, they're not eligible to win for 60 days. They're like reading the fine print.
They're making rules for you,
Justin. I don't know if 847 is one of the finalists here, but they're angry that plastic.
No doubt.
All right. Well, the winner
gets a pizza for someone else.
The winner gets a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com. Rachel Claff, David Kadesky, you can see them. David is directing Cage, which will be the kickoff.
Soapy Ankles
at the Neo Future. It came from the Neo Futurarium at the Neo Futurarium up at Foster and Ashland in the Andersonville neighborhood. It is the beginning of the... Was it five weeks?
4 weeks.
4 weeks.
Yep. There'll be four Saturdays, and you can actually get a pass for all four films for a paltry $50.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right.
Cheaper than popcorn in
a
movie.
You'll be back. You'll be back next week, so we'll continue this. But,
yes.
Okay. All right. So tonight, I agree with 847. They're upset about the 60 days thing. So we will take Boy in the Plastic
Bubble.
Allie
needs to take a seat. Sorry,
which
Allie.
Is a bummer, but great.
Yep.
I mean, that should be winner. So I think we come down to the three.
She can't have lost because of a technicality.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
No. We can't, you know.
So let's give the winner tonight is either going to be Robinson Crusoe
on Mars.
On Mars.
Yep.
With the chimpanzee.
Uh-huh.
A special kind of love.
Yeah. A special kind of love. Or Rabbit Test. With a earnest, pregnant Billy Crystal.
Yeah.
1978. Guys, what do you want to give to the best worst movie for tonight?
If I'm going for what I immediately want to go home and even though it's 11 o'clock at night, turn on and watch, mm-hmm. I'm going with Rabbit Test.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
You'll be sorry.
Oh, I know.
Rabbit Test is the winner tonight. So Bad Ronald and Rabbit Test have won the first 2 weeks. David, Rachel, great to see you. Thanks
for
coming.
Good to see you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.